This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett. With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
A very warm welcome to this week's Accounting Influencers Podcast, and the show is growing madly. Martin, the downloads have been going off the charts this week.
As we race past 50,000 downloads, we thank you, the audience, for making that possible. This podcast is now in 136 countries, which means that we've got to make the news applicable the world over. But we've managed to do that this week.
We have. We'll talk about the news in just a moment. Thank you also to our wonderful partners who sponsor the show and make all of this possible. And it's up to Martin now to make some of it impossible. So Martin, on the news, the return to live events, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show. You went to a real live event, which is one of the biggest ones in the UK. What are we going to be talking about now? What can we learn globally as events open up?
Okay, so we talked about it's coming, and we even did a review edition from the show itself, but now it's time to look at the real hard, cold truths. What were the takeaways? What are the big topics? What were the practitioners who attended interested in? Where did the footfall go? I'll be bringing you a full review.
Special guest this week is Vipul Sheth. He's the founder of Bounce Track Outsourcing. They're one of the world's leading providers of outsourced talent and extra capacity for accounting firms. Brilliant interview with Vipul, very passionate guy. Tells us about the challenges accounting firms have with finding the talent and the people that they need to grow their firms and serve their clients, because there's a big shortage. So listen out for that one. And then you're doing an interview yourself, Martin, aren't you, with a lovely lady?
I've had the opportunity to sit down with Zoe Lacey Cooper. Now, to a lot of our listeners, that name really means something in the context of the events world. But Zoe has changed, and she has, not in that way, but Zoe has changed a path in her career and has swapped events for CPD.
Usually we have a soapbox around us, very popular with our listeners. We're going to change this section to here's what works, Martin. Why have we done this?
Well, it's cards on the table, Rob. You know, for our listeners, you know, we want to bring them the most value. I had a look at that rant section, and yeah, it has some value, but I can beat it.
What's the first topic you're going to hit this week, Martin? Something very controversial, I hope.
Well, you know what is an evergreen topic, but pricing was a very well-attended subject during Accountex, and I'll be bringing you the only three prices that you ever need.
Enjoy this week's show. Remember, you can be one of our VIP subscribers, get extra bonus content, and you can also leave us a message at sayhi.chat/AIP, and let's get on with the show. And thank you to our special sponsors, Iris Software, iris.co.uk. Martin, you saw a great video just recently from Iris, didn't you?
Yeah, what I think people don't understand about Iris is they were ahead of the game for MTD Phase 1, because they were the first software vendor to be listed as approved by the HMRC for MTD filing. And guess what? They're fully prepared for the next. So they've got an MTD webinar on demand that you can catch up with at any time. Rob, where did they go to see this?
It's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. That stands for Making Tax Digital for our international listeners. And there's some great stuff there that you need to know to guide you through the whole Making Tax Digital initiative. So iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. Right, Martin?
That's right. So wherever you are in your journey, Iris know that they have the knowledge and tools to help you in the next steps. That's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar.
So welcome to our new section, and here we are back to face-to-face, Martin. You went to Accountex recently. What was your initial impression when you walked in to this big room face-to-face once more?
Well, thankfully, Rob, I don't do impressions. Our audience listeners will be delighted about that. But here's what happened. What struck me, first of all, is in the run-up. So anybody who knows Manchester geography will know this used to be a railway station. It became the GMEX, which was the major gig venue for concerts before the arena was built. And now it's a convention center. And Sage had completely taken over the entranceway with lots of sort of big advertising marketing style gimmicks. Right away made you think, okay, I'm like walking into a Sage show here. The show was very, very well spaced out. So it was a huge floor. And normally that's the size of floor you'd see at the main Accountex at the Excel. It made the show look a little bit less populated than it really was, because we'd normally have had that many people in a much smaller space. But they couldn't do that, so it had to be a much bigger space with the same amount of people. But nevertheless, it was busy, I'm pleased to say. and it was bustling. It was great to hear the noise levels again. These are the intangibles, Rob, that you find, that you forget about.
Yeah.
The little nuanced things about going to live events. There's a buzz. Most of the usual faces were there. Two notable absentees, no Digita, and no Intuit. I believe that Intuit's strategy is to not return to live events until 2022. And I believe that Digita's reason for not being there is that the Accountex audience, they don't feel is their target audience. But those are both speculations on my behalf and not facts. Unfortunately, in my opinion, practitioners absolutely flocked towards the 8 different MTD sessions that were held.
That's Making Tax Digital.
Yes, over the two days. And the great irony is that somebody from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, IRS for international listeners, was asked about the possibility of an MTD referral. And they answered that there couldn't be an MTD referral, a deferral. It had been deferred too often already anyway. And she had no information that indicated that whatsoever. And within 24 hours, Rob, MTD had been deferred for another year.
I'm sure we'll feature that on a future news section, Martin, won't we?
Absolutely. So the concern is that while there was standing room only, I think those keynote theatres held 192 seats each, and there was standing room only, so let's say 200 people at each of those sessions. Meanwhile, at practice growth, practice development, client care style sessions, you had the row to yourself, and that was very concerning. Practice technology, practice management were well-attended sessions. Given what we've just learned through COVID as to how important it was to get close to the client, it is disappointing that those subjects were not given more time and attention by the attendees.
I understand, but have we proved that this can work again now? Will there be a rush back to live events?
I don't know if there'll be a rush, there'll be a return, because there was no shortage of attendees. I mean, usually about 4 o'clock on the second day, you start to see things get very quiet. And of course it did quieten, but not that far. So I think, yes, we'll see a return. I think Accountex in London next May will be a bumper show. And of course, before that, we have the Digital Accounting Forum. And indeed, we have the Accounting Web Live event to come before that. So I think by the end of the year, we'll be in a good place to be able to assess with a reasonable amount of evidence exactly what people's attitudes towards live are again. But the early signs are very encouraging.
Yeah. Well, there you are, folks. That's the news for this week. We'll see you on the same slot next week with more news on the accounting and fintech profession.
Improve your practice while decreasing how hard you work to make your firm really fly.
The Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Welcome to our special guest interview slot for this week, and I'm delighted to have with me today Vipul Sheth from Advanced Track Outsourcing. Good day, sir.
Hi, good day, Rob. How are you?
Well, fantastic. Lovely to have you with us. Vipul, for people that haven't come across you in Advanced Track, tell us a little bit about what you do.
What Advanced Track does is help accountancy firms and bookkeepers change the dial in terms of what an accountant can provide for a client, really freeing them up to do more of the good work that they've been doing.
Well, why do accountants need that right now?
They're incredibly busy. Clients need to be dealt with. There are huge challenges of getting good people. We have a pool of good people that keeps the compliance work moving along, but uses the skills of the onshore people to really serve their clients better.
And the accounting profession's been through a lot over the years. Just generally, what kind of shape do you feel the profession is in right now?
I think as a business, I don't think it's ever been more valued than in perhaps the last 15, 20 years. The pandemic has really shown the value that a professional accountant can help the businesses that they work with. I think that's become really evident. So I think in that sense, really good. The challenge that it has is at the top, that it's quite an aging population. There are not as many people coming through and then staying within the profession. They'll then go on to do other roles.
So what, in your view, separates the good accounting firms and maybe even the good accountants from the great ones?
The ones that have shown that they care, that I think has been the massive difference. I'm not to say they haven't. I think the last 18 months, across the board, everyone's really shown that they care for their clients. I think the thing that will come through in the next sort of 18, 24 months as we come out is how many retain that and continue to use the goodwill that they've generated over this period.
So where have some of the accounting firms fallen short in recent times? Perhaps have they got complacent? Have they felt that because COVID is around, clients are picking up the phone to them so they don't have to be proactive? Where would you go with that?
The pandemic is something that's hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime event, and I don't think we should base any decisions on that. But I think more generally, as a profession, we've had the benefit of that recurring, that returning customer. So there's an element of, well, they'll be back next year when next year's accounts need doing, the tax needs doing. And whereas actually in most walks of life, you have to reinvent yourself because you need to attract not only your old customers, but you need to attract new customers to keep your business growing.
Now, you're one of the leading providers of outsourcing capacity for accounting firms. What kind of challenges or problems or pain points would they be having for them to say, right, we need to get Advanced Track Outsourcing and Vipul Sheth in here?
They've either had long-term sickness or is one factor, perhaps. But I think more than that, it is our staff are overrun. They're tired. They're busy talking to clients all day. That work is just piling up, and they're then not able to even do the basic compliance work, and they're therefore they need resource to help them fulfill that part whilst they continue to keep talking and helping the clients.
Yeah, and you hinted at recruitment as well. They just might have those job vacancies there that they can't fill. What are the common pushbacks with accounting firms that you talk to, Vipul, that go away from outsourcing or don't feel that it's justified? How do they reason that?
Sometimes it's moral that, you know, they want to support local people and the local environment, you know, local community. I totally respect that. I benefited from a firm that trained me. But what I would always say to people is, do you always want to be doing work at the basic level, or do you want your people to develop and do the more interesting things that really help your clients? Because if you're helping your clients grow, you attract other growing clients. It's just the way of the world.
Talk to us about how the labour market in the accounting profession particularly has moved over the years.
You know, in good times, they hire a lot. In bad times, particularly at the bigger end, they cut very quickly. And as a result, what ends up happening is you get gaps in the employment market where you just don't have enough people of a certain level. So I think there's always been that sort of stop-start approach to employing people, which creates those natural gaps. So I think there's an element of that. And the other side of it is less and less firms actually train. So it relies upon the larger firms within the business to actually do the training. And there's an argument that a lot of good training happens in smaller firms because you actually are able to do everything.
Yeah.
And that's often the challenge, that when a smaller firm recruits somebody, it's like, oh, you've never done tax, or you've never produced a set of accounts. And that's really hard if all they've ever done is an audit.
So what should be the hiring policy, in your view, for accounting firms that do want to grow and stand out?
One of the partners we have worked with for over a decade, it's a top 50 firm. He phrased it the best way possible. He said to me, we now don't recruit people to man the engine room. We recruit people who are comfortable, sat in front of a business owner who wants to talk about their life and their business. That is the type of person we now recruit, because that is the necessary skill for the accountants going forward, not to be able to just produce a set of accounts. We don't need to recruit the engine room because we have you guys. So it's an absolutely an essential part of their business, but what they want are people who have the potential to be partners within their firm in the future. And they understand that it is not somebody who is just a technician. It is somebody who can grow the business and engage with customers. And the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, definitely. And with the technology we have available, the way we can protect data across different countries and cultures and boundaries, it's as safe as and effective as any time before to outsource the talent, isn't it?
Very much. We all, within the industry, I believe, try and do as much as we can. And there's lots of separate work that we carry out and audits get audited to ensure that we're able to fulfil the data protection requirements that are becoming increasingly onerous.
Now, I don't know if you have a crystal ball there, Vipul, but if we were to ask you to cast your mind to the next few years, what's coming up for the accounting profession?
I think there's been a lot of talk about advisory, and I think that is going to become more and more prevalent. And I think particularly as the governments around the world want to pay for all the support they've given business, they're going to look to collect tax faster. And that's where MTD in the UK and similar projects across the world are going to become more relevant. So the digital accounting process, cloud accounting, so that we're able to help forecast what the cash needs of a business are going to be. I think they're going to be very, very important. But in order to do that, you need to have good systems, good processes, and people who understand what to do with those numbers.
Yeah, and presumably those firms that don't invest in the people and invest in the outsourcing and invest in the tech, they're going to get left behind, aren't they?
Very much so. And we've seen historically the firms that have not invested in 3 to 5 years, if you look where they started and where a similar firm started but was investing, the growth trajectory of the two is very, very different. Mm-hmm. And actually what often happens is the good people in the slower growing firms actually leave to join the faster growing firms.
Yeah, you have a very strong work ethic. You're very driven. I know that a lot of that comes from your family and your upbringing, but do you have a personal philosophy for success?
I would say to always tell the truth and be honest. Sometimes gets me into trouble. it's fair to say, but I think by having that philosophy, you very much are able to go to sleep at night knowing, yeah, what I did, I'm comfortable with, everyone knows where they stand, and that's the way that I conduct my life and my business. The biggest influence for me would be my parents. From the age of 7, I've been working alongside them, so I've seen their work ethic. But I think more than anything, the one thing, even when I started this business, that they always said to me is, do what you do brilliantly. And if you do that, everything else then follows.
So what advice would you give to our accounting listeners on this show there?
So
the ones that have not yet made it and the ones that have made it but want to sustain the legacy, if you like.
So the ones that are on their journey, mm-hmm. I think it's really important to knock on the door, keep asking questions.
Right.
Because if you don't do that, you're not going to make the most of the opportunities in front of you. And just to give you an example, the firm that I trained in, the first few weeks and months, I perhaps didn't get as much work as I should have got. I went and knocked on the partner's door and turned around and said, Albert, I'm coming in every day. I'm not getting enough work. And he said, right, I'll move you into another department. And as a result of that, when they did make a redundancy call less than 12 months later, I was super busy and therefore was able to continue to my career and fulfill my ambitions. And there were others who perhaps didn't go and do that and therefore did not survive that. So I think you need to make the most of the opportunities that are there. And that means you need to ask lots of questions and challenge yourself more. Yeah. And for those that have made it, I think always be open and encourage the really good talent that's within your firm.
That's brilliant. If people want to talk to you, have a conversation about what you're doing at Advanced Track Outsourcing, what's a good way for them to reach you?
LinkedIn, but on our website, advancedtrack.com, there's a Start Here button. And if you click on that, fill in a short form, you get access to our online diaries, and either myself or somebody within the team will have a chat with you.
Well, if anyone knows about recruiting for growth, it would be you, Vipul Sheth. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today. That's been brilliant.
No, thank you, Rob.
The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
Cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights, and wisdom
from the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world. The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
So, we We come to a new section in our show, Martin, where we've pivoted from you on your soapbox to you telling the accounting profession what works. And you're probably in a better position than most of the list because you've been in this game quite some time, haven't you? And you've seen it all.
Yeah, if I was a listener to this show, Rob, I was saying, well, who the hell's this guy and what credibility does he have to tell us anything? And here's the answer to that. 23 years now, I have been sat in managing partners' offices, in partner meetings with senior managers and your junior team, many of you complaining about each other, many of you complaining about your clients, many of you complaining about pricing, many of you complaining about marketing, and so on and so on and so on. And my role for many, many years as a consultant was to troubleshoot, problem solve, and accelerate the growth of accounting firms of all sizes the world over. The stats that we regularly repeat is that that's over 1,800 firms over the last 23 years. And I have been part of, not directly generating, but part of the acquisition of over £450 million worth of gross recurring fees worldwide. But we stopped counting that number over 3 years ago because it became impossible to track. Who knows what it's up to now? So if that doesn't give me a platform to bring something to the table, I don't know what does.
And before we get started with this week's topic, we're inviting you to suggest to us topics that you want Martin to address in this Here's What Works section. And we have a little website called sayhi.chat/AIP, Accounting Influencers Podcast, where you can leave us a message anonymously or with your name and email with suggestions, and we could feature them on future shows. So Martin, when we moved on to this new section, I asked you, what is the one topic you feel accountants really struggle with? What are you going to start with? And you came up with
pricing. There's two major reasons. One, the most commonly found person who doesn't believe the pricing of an accounting firm is the accounting practitioner that actually presented it in the first place. Any challenge to price for an accounting practice often results in an immediate climb down from the accounting practitioner. One thing that I remember immediately is I remember a tax manager and a tax partner in a UK top 30 firm who shall remain nameless. And the tax manager had the job of pricing out proposals. So the tax partner would go on a meeting with a potential client. They would come back. They would debrief on the meeting. And the tax manager had the job of putting the proposal together, including the price. Then it was the tax partner's job to go back and present that price, present that proposal, get that deal. And here's the chronic thing. The tax manager used to come up with the correct figure or the figure that they wanted and then increase it by 25%. Were they profiteering? No, they were not profiteering. They knew that their tax partner always collapsed in negotiations with any kind of fee pressure whatsoever. So they knew that that tax partner, on average, climbed down on price by 25%. So they built that into the original price so that when they did concede and climb down that 25%, it would come back to the number that they wanted in the first place.
Yeah. And Martin, you bring up an important point. There's a lot of, it's not just pricing structure and strategies and tactics. It is a confidence and a mindset thing, isn't it? A lot of the time.
It's pricing behavior.
Yes.
Pricing behavior. And many
because we are playing to emotions as well. I think that these are emotional decisions made by complex creatures called humans.
It's often said that logic makes us think and emotion makes us act. Yeah. Therefore, putting a logical proposal forward to someone who's got to make an emotional decision, break the loyalty barrier with their existing accountant, will not work. You have to appeal to the emotional argument. And that's why you get so many gurus talking about outcomes and what do you want to achieve and what keeps you up at night. The reason they're asking you to ask those questions of business owners is because that's the emotional element. That's what will influence a business owner to consider the possibility of stepping away from someone they've worked with for years and years and years and years. So I know that you don't believe your own price. And I know that when you're challenged, and by you, I mean the listener, then you climb down. So the very first thing we've got to get right is you believing in it. You are your first client. If you won't buy at that price, forget trying to get somebody else to do it because they will not be convinced. They will see it in your eyes. They will see it in your body language. They will hear it in the tone of your voice. And when you gulp mid-sentence, they will be able to smell the fear of you trying to put forward a price that you're not already comfortable with.
And I'm just reminded of the famous phrase, people buy certainty.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And what the certainty is not, of course, in the solution, but in the person presenting the solution. So here you go, guys. So you'll get a lot of pricing experts who will make something quite simple into something quite complex to prolong their careers. Believe it or not, experience has taught me that there are only three prices that you ever need in any scenario. To be clear, that's with a prospect, with an existing client, for a recurring piece of work, for a one-off piece of work. Whatever it happens to be, there are only three prices you ever need, and here they come. At number one, you need your ideal price. Now, this is a concept, and so technical professionals who like absolute exacts are going to struggle with this. But you want a certain amount for it. The proposal, whether it's compliance, added value, or compliance with frills, it might be 5,000, it might be 10,000, it might be 15,000. You decide that, not the market, not what they're currently paying their current accountant. You decide what you want. It's your practice, it's your profitability levels. You decide whether it should be 10, 12, 15, 20, whatever it happens to be. Yes, you then have the job of justifying that, but we'll come on to that in a second. But the ideal price is the first price you need. Too many of you are governed by what everybody else is paying everybody else, as if market conditions were always like for like. The price that you want is the price you can justify. Price number two is the cost price. Now, the cost price is there not to determine how much your ideal price should be, but rather it's there to determine that you're making enough profitability on your ideal price, to check that your ideal price is high enough. Okay, so we're looking for a certain gross margin in the practice, I assume. You have gross margin targets. If you don't, fix that first. But we want to make sure that whatever it's going to cost you to deliver this work, and of course, err on the side of caution in this costing, make sure that your ideal price is high enough for you to make the profitability, the gross margin that you want to make.
And you don't go broke.
Exactly right. Which, when you look at the write-downs of some practices, you wonder how they haven't so far.
Okay. So we've got the ideal price, we've got the cost price.
And then finally, and this is the trickiest one, is the walk-away price. This is where you need guts. This is where you need chutzpah. This is where you need resolve. Because as you know, as you find out every day, you receive resistance to your prices. So you need to know before you ever speak to the prospect what your walk away is going to be. In other words, what you will not do this work for less than. Now, imagine that you've got a £10,000 proposal and you decide that your walk away is five. Imagine I am the recipient of that proposal. I can now talk you down to the extent of 5,000. The more you concede from 10 down to five, the more it looks like you were ripping me off in the first place and you're a con artist. I will not trust you on that basis. So your walk away price needs to be as close to your ideal price as it can possibly be, so that there is only a little bit of room for negotiation and it looks like you are moving begrudgingly in the first place. Now, there is a second important part to this. Here's the golden rule. And when you've heard this, pause this podcast, go back and listen to it again. Here it is. Never give anything away on price without getting something of equal or greater value in return. That one again, never give away anything on price without getting something of equal or greater value in return. Now, it's up to you to decide what is of equal or greater value. The most common answers are referrals and marketing collateral, which you can leverage several times over. And therefore, you know, a referral that will bring a £5,000 a year fee, much greater than a £500 discount that you might be answered to, or $500, or whatever your currency happens to be where you are. So as a result, this walkaway price that sits under your ideal price must be close, so that there is room for maneuver for the prospect, but there's not so much room for maneuver that you look like you're ripping them off at the first price. And you've got to have the ability to get something of equal or greater value in return, so it was worth you climbing down in the first place. That, guys, are the only three prices you will ever need: the ideal, the cost, and the walk away. Get to work on those in your practice straight away and watch your average fee rise as well as your profitability significantly over the next 12 months.
That's brilliant, Martin. Really, really useful. Hopefully our accounting practitioners listening will take that on board. Go to sayhi.chat/AIP and give us your thoughts on that, any comments, and equally any suggestions you want for further Here's What Works sections. But I think, Martin, that's going to be a really popular section, and that's going to run and run even more than some of your lovely rants.
I hope I get complaints on this one.
You're listening to the Accounting Influencers Podcast, cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights, and wisdom
from the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world,
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
So we come to the part of the show that you're always waiting for, which is the expert interview part. And I get the pleasure of doing this. And furthermore, this week, my guest is the ubiquitous, the eponymous Zoe Lacey Cooper.
Wow, that whole introduction took up the whole podcast, Martin, but I love it, loving it.
For the vast majority of our listeners, they will know you as being the queen of Accountex, but you're not the queen of Accountex anymore.
I've been in the events and exhibition industry for 21 years. I've worked in that time in various different industry sectors, ranging from pharmaceuticals, the baby show, the ideal home show, skiing, snowboarding, organic food, and most recently, accounting. The strangest thing happened, you know, I work in some very, very, very glamorous industry sectors, and Accountex fell on my desk and I had the opportunity to work on the newly acquired, working with the UK accounting community, they told me. And I said, well, I currently do a really sexy show in Sweden called the Organic Food Fair, where I deal with very beautiful people and very sexy products. And I'm like, no, have a look at the figures and look at the industry and look at the potential. So cut a long story short, I came back off maternity very early to take on this show called Accountex, whatever Accountex was. Little did I know the impact that it would have on my life. I'm used to working on a show, Martin, for 2-3 years and then I move on.
Right.
That's the way I do. I'm a bit of a launcher. I like to work on things, establish the industry, do what I can, and I move on. Couldn't let go of accounting. These little opportunities kept coming my way. I was like, oh, not quite ready to let go yet. And no. I think, there's a bit more to do on Accountex, I think. And the odd thing is that I think I found my heart and my place, which was the accounting profession.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that response a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about this one. It's being in Accountex, you have a bit of an outsider's perspective. So yeah. You deal with the tech, you deal with the influencers, the gurus, those that are on their journey. Biggest thing that I found from it is always that you make friends for life. It's a real close-knit community. You collaborate together and you support each other. And that natural support I got, you know, when I first took over, the natural hand to help me and support me genuinely,
yes,
was just exceptional, and that never left me. So obviously, as you know, COVID happened, events industry took a little tumble. I was given the opportunity to go client side, and I got a call from Des O'Neill from Omnipro, as some of you may know, to give me the opportunity to utilize my experience and my knowledge and contacts in the UK accounting ecosystem and take another company to the new level. Watching the accounting ecosystem as a whole going through COVID, you know, watching the accountants keeping businesses alive, watching those that serve the accountants, you know, the influencers, the supporters, trying to advise these people out of it, but also the vendors, you know, the software, the technology element. Mm-hmm. The technology element for me is also what I really enjoy. This kind of entrepreneurial spirit that happens, particularly in those progressive areas, you know, watching those progressive accountants and their journey and the technology element.
Yeah.
I kind of get quite inspired by that. I learn every day. I mean, you guys and girls write a lot of books, but it's because you think differently. You do take your business very seriously. And I've learned a lot from that. So to take on my next part of my role and to still continuously learn from a technology perspective, from an entrepreneurial perspective, even a business perspective, I just get all that from serving the accounting community.
So what is it that you're doing now?
So I am now managing CPD store. And for any accountants, particularly in the UK or for those CPAs out in America, this is your accreditation for you and your profession. So as you know, you need a certain amount of points or hours for you to get signed off by your institute. So CPD store does what it says on the tin, but our focus is not being a CPD tickie. For those in England, they know that it's very easy accessible, Martin. Yes. You get CPD everywhere. It's yes. Free. Everyone gets it. America's a bit more harder. You have to pay a little bit more out in America and some other countries. But what we want to do is actually say, well, actually, you know, you're an accountant serving business. You kind of need to know this stuff, kind of need to know what the new VAT mandate is going to be next month, and kind of need to know what tax updates are happening so you can serve your clients better. However, with COVID, everything's gone online and we are sitting here with hours upon hours of CPD and learning Zoom calls with accountants just scooping up CPD. My knowledge with putting together programs with 250 speaker sessions at Accountex, I just wanted to put that in a place where people can go, you know what, I've got to actually learn some stuff. I don't just need a CPD tickie. Where would I go for that? Where am I going to actually learn something? Who's going to give me case studies? Where am I going to have a little bit of, you know, a bit of interaction, just a place where I can learn in a really good environment. So what I'm doing is I'm heading up CPD Store. We also have a branch in Ireland. And so we're launching in the UK at the moment, but we've been currently looking after the Irish accounting community for about, I think, 10 or 15 years now. So we've got the business that's very well established. And then we have this new business using all of our expertise and our technology and event platforms online to launch in the UK.
Fantastic. So it's kind of like the University of Continuing Professional Development.
Oh, I like that.
You can have that for free. I'm now going to take you back to the Accountex days to ask you the next question, because if there is anybody who's an expert on this subject, it would be you. What are your thoughts now on where we go with events? Because we've just, at the time of recording this interview, have had Accountex Summit North, which we've covered in abundance on this show. And there's clearly a novelty factor in returning to face-to-face. Do you think that will be maintained now?
Okay, so this is something of my area of expertise, because when I was in the exhibition industry, this is where I would be on stage talking about this thing right now. I did a lot of benchmarking surveys and research, and this is what I would normally present on in my previous life. Mm-hmm. Now, 12 years ago, I actually used to run virtual events. Oh, it was the new best thing. This is going to be great. This is going to take over the world. This is the vision of events. And guess what happened, Martin? It wasn't.
It wasn't.
And COVID happened and we were like, whoa, yes, virtual events. This is where it's going to happen. This is the time. The moment is now. And do you know what? Exhibition-wise, in my opinion, I do not think it is. We work in many industries that have very tangible products, and you can't do it online. You can't have a virtual booth. It just doesn't work. And that is my opinion 12 years ago. It is my opinion now. However, content and learning can be done online if done in the right way. Accountex London, for example, used to have 10,000 visitors across 2 days.
Yep.
And those visitors were people that would want to come out, meet people, network and learn. But there was also, I mean, what's the number, Martin? That's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, the number of accountancies in the UK is pretty high. Yes. 10,000 is a very small amount. So moving into a hybrid business model not only opens up your reach in terms of the people you're, you know, getting in contact, but it means you're reaching people who don't go to face-to-face events. My opportunity, I think, particularly for accounting, is there is a place for both, particularly learning online, but the interaction, the networking and this whole tangible, you know, with the software that's out there, I think that has to just be face-to-face, I think. You just can't do that online. It's very hard. And the events industry, I would not say are very progressive in terms of technology. You know, I struggled. I was working in the events industry serving the accountancy profession, mm-hmm. and 50% of my time was blown away with the amount of over-the-top technology you had access to.
Yes.
And then my day job is kind of like, oh, we're not even in the cloud yet. You know, we obviously are now, and things have progressed on a lot over the last couple of years. But, you know, again, accounting, believe it or not, if they agree to it or not, are a hell of a lot ahead of other industry sectors than they probably think they are.
Which I'm sure the listeners will be delighted and somewhat surprised to hear as well, because they are often painted with a rather grey hue.
They are.
So I think they'd enjoy that. For those who are thinking now, all right, maybe perhaps I want to take a bit more of a proactive approach to actually check out CPD Store, what is their first step to contact CPD Store or you and find out exactly what you're doing right now?
So best thing to do for the UK listeners is www.cpdstore.co.uk. We also have .com as well for our international clients, all those in Ireland. And if you go on there, at the moment we're offering some free CPD webinars, but we also got our CPD festival coming up at the end of the year, which is a lovely combination of all the core technical training and updates that you need. And we've brought in some really good, well-known teachers, I'll call them. I don't want to call them speakers, teachers who can teach what you actually need to know and not get that CPD ticky off at the end of the year.
Excellent. So there you go, guys. The expert interview with Zoe was brought to you today by CPD, Community and Connection. Zoe, thank you very much for being my guest. And guys, I will see you all on the next episode.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Now, one of the big topics for accountants at the moment is making tax digital. It's going to hit you globally at some point. Martin, our friends at FreeAgent have got something to help with here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an accounting practice, you'll have already had the conversation at some level about how do you get your practice ready to conquer making tax digital? Well, at FreeAgent, they've got a 30-minute consultation waiting for you. Each session is designed to help accountants and bookkeepers get their practices ready for the next stages of making tax digital, or MTD. And FreeAgent's in-house experts will offer advice on how to segment your client base, choose the right MTD compatible software for your practice and clients, and train and educate the team and clients on the upcoming changes. After your consultation, though, you'll receive a tailored action plan with the next steps for your practice. So Rob, for listeners who want to get that consultation and the tailored report, where do they go?
Go to freeagent.com/AIP for the Accounting Influencers Podcast, freeagent.com/AIP, and they can book that consultation today.
Well, goodness, what a show, Martin. And as we pass 50,000 downloads for the Accounting Influencers Podcast this week, the audience is growing and growing, isn't it?
We get through an awful lot in these shows, Rob, and I'm always surprised where the audience comes from. Now, we know about the main listenership. It's UK, it's US, it's Canada, it's Australia. It's where you'd expect us to be. But you know what? Belgium's creeping up the charts, and for some reason, we've got listeners in Chechnya. So hello to our listeners in Chechnya. I bet we don't get called out very often. And thank you to wherever you are and wherever you're listening. I hope you're getting maximum value from the show. But more than that, I hope you'll feel, as you get used to this show, inclined to get in touch with us and let us know what else we can bring you, what you want to hear about, and we'll factor that into future episodes.
Sure, you can leave us a voicemail message. This is the modern world, direct messaging. Go to sayhi.chat/AIP. That's sayhi.chat/AIP. You can leave us a little message. Who knows, we may even feature you on the show. But to wrap up this week's show, we had a new format, Martin, didn't we? But we did start, as always, with the news, and you talked about the opening up of live events, and you experienced it real for yourself, didn't you?
Absolutely. I was there for 2 days of Accountex, and I'm very grateful for being able to be there over the 2 days. Thank you to Caroline Hobden and Diversified for that. And congratulations to Caroline for her first very successful Accountex show. I think, as you heard in the news, the main takeaway for me was the amount of interest there was in MTD, okay, despite having a guest on a panel from the HMRC, that's our Internal Revenue Service, where they said that they could not rule out a deferral of MTD again. The sharpest contrast was that those talks, of which I think there were about 8 of them, were packed standing room only shows. And yet over at Client Care, where the Client Care subjects, there were, well, you had rows to yourself basically in those events. And is that because MTD is more pressing? Is that a commentary on where accounting professionals want to prioritize? I'll leave that open to the listener to decide.
MTD is making tax digital for our international listeners, and that's coming your way soon. I really enjoyed my interview with Vipul Sheth. We talked about some of the biggest objections to outsourcing for accounting firms and the biggest reasons why firms should do it, because it gives them extra capacity and it allows them to develop and recruit their talent in a much more effective way. So that was really exciting. We had your new section as well, Martin, Here's What Works. And you talked about pricing.
You know, it's a piece of content that needs to work for you, the practitioner, the listener, and it needs to work in a very short 5-minute segment as well. But it seems to be something that everyone gets value from. These 3 prices that you'll ever need, this ideal cost and walk away price, is a simple framework, mindset, or structure that you can implement to every single piece of work that you ever do, whether it's for existing clients or new prospects or whatever it happens to be. It works every single time.
Yeah. And finally, we had that wonderful interview you did with Zoe Lacey Cooper. What a woman she is.
As an interviewer, I don't have much more of an easier time than having to speak with Zoe. You know, Zoe's very upbeat, and it was fascinating to hear why she decided after all these years to move away from the event scene. But she still keeps her hand in. She's still got a very strong opinion on it.
And just for listeners who don't know, you get snippets of those interviews. They're kind of a highlights reel on this show. But if you want the full content, the full interview, which is 25, 30 minutes long, both for Vipul Sheth and for Zoe, then you can go along to Patreon, patreon.com/influencersite. And you can sign up for one of our VIP packages where you can get bonus content and all kinds of other goodies, including some of the AIP merchandise, Martin.
It's a real thing. They said it would never happen. Well, I said it would never happen. But yes, AIP, Accounting Influencers Podcast merchandise is now available. Why? Because people want it.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy this week's show. If you've got a message you want to leave with us, go to sayhi.chat/AIP or get in touch with us any other ways. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you in next week's really exciting show with more of the news, the interviews, and the Here's What Works stuff that really helps accountants in business today.
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.